Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We've already mentioned this morning that at some point, God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. So I'm going to ask the question this morning, why do we have tears? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this particular subject that you have mentioned in your word, once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament, that you're going to wipe the tears from our eyes, Lord. Help us to understand where those tears come from, and maybe we can avoid at least a few of them if we have understanding. Guide us through this study, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Picture yourself walking down a street in York, not the main street, a side street, and you notice in an inconspicuous place an old, dilapidated satchel. Well, I don't know, do we use that word anymore, satchel, briefcase? We used to call them satchels. It brings to mind a mental note. I used to have one like that. They don't make them like they used to. But you dismiss it and you walk on. Some days later, you see a newspaper headline. Homeless man finds millions of dollars. As you read the article, you realize that the homeless man found the money in that old dilapidated satchel. You think to yourself, since the homeless man turned the money in, he'll probably get a nice little reward and you're happy for the homeless man. But several weeks later, another news article appears. No one came forward to claim the money, and it was all awarded to the homeless man. The homeless man became a millionaire. And you think to yourself, if only I had looked in the satchel. How many if-onlys are there in your life? We're going to look at the potential of one if-only this morning that might come in the future. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We must all appear. The word all refers to each and every one, suggesting that this will not be a group appearance, but an individual appearance. And we will appear, which says we will be exposed. There's no way we'll be able to hide at the judgment seat of Christ. We will be exposed to Jesus Christ, and our entire life will be exposed to him. We will come before the judgment seat of Christ, that is, we will stand right in front of it. This term, judgment seat, is the word bema. Maybe you've heard messages about the bema seat. Some suggest that it's only ever used for sporting events, but according to references in the scripture, it can either be used for legal proceedings in which a judge casts a sentence upon a person, or it can be as a sporting judge, some kind of competition where only rewards are given. It is in that sense that the word is used here in this context, as this judgment seat offers no condemnation to anyone who stands before the judgment seat of Christ. How do we know that? Well, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says this: there is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And only those who are in Christ Jesus stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Those who are not in Jesus Christ will stand before him later on at the great white throne judgment, and the outcome of that will be very different. And so, because there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, there can be no condemnation offered at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 continues, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So we are going to receive something here at this judgment seat. We will have something that we can carry away from the judgment seat with us. What we receive will be determined by what we have done here in these physical bodies on this earth, whether it be good or bad. This is kind of an aside as well, but sort of related. Ever since my wife went to heaven, in the morning, I thank the Lord for another day he gave me to live on this earth. You know, he wouldn't have to do that. But he left us here for a reason. We're here in these bodies on this earth, and there's something he wants us to do. So, some of the things that we do in this body are good, but some of the things that we do in this body are bad. And Christ, therefore, will assign a value to each and everything that we do here on this earth, those things that are good and those things that are bad. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. And verse 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, it tells us, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." This goes along with the word "appear" in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. To appear is to be exposed to Christ. To have our work manifested is to have our work manifested to Christ, to be exposed to Christ. He will see at the judgment seat of Christ everything we have done in our entire lives here on this earth. The value of our work will be determined by fire, according to verse 13, for it says, "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." And verse 12 describes the grading system. Verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Those six things become the grading system for the things that we have done in our body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, compared with 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, "According to that he hath done, whether it be good," according to this passage, "gold, silver, precious stones," describes the things that we have done in our bodies that are good. "Wood, hay, stubble," describe the things that we have done in our body here on this earth that are bad. And it will all be subjected to fire. So what obviously happens to wood, hay, and stubble when it is subjected to fire? Poof, it's gone. Gone. What happens to gold, silver, and precious stones when subjected to fire? Now, I was curious about this, so I did a little bit of study on this. I thought it might be of interest for us to know a little detail about gold, silver, and precious stones being subjected to fire. Back in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9, it says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and try them as gold is tried," and suggests that gold and silver at least are refined and purified by fire. Well, as far as gold is concerned, it says, "First you insert gold scraps and the flux into a crucible. You put the crucible into the fire. You stoke the fire until the heat reaches 1,947.52 degrees Fahrenheit." That's a little warm. That's the exact temperature at which gold will melt and liquefy. "Remove the crucible from the fire when all of the gold is melted. Pour the molten gold into the mold and let it cool. As the gold cools, any other minerals that are mixed in with the gold will come to the top and float, such as copper, silver, iron, tin, lead, mercury, antimony," which I don't know what that is, "will all come to the top, and you can skim that off, and all you have left is pure gold." Interesting. What about silver? "The refiner holds a piece of silver over the fire and lets it heat up. He must hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames are hottest as to burn away all the impurities. He has to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver is being refined. He has to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it is in the fire so he can remove the silver at a precise moment. He knows the silver is pure when he can see his reflection in the liquid silver. And that's when he must remove the silver from the fire." But what about precious stones? What happens when they go in the fire? They can withstand a heat even hotter than gold. High heat, such as that from a charcoal fire, can make a bland-looking gemstone change its color into something spectacular. Heat treatment is considered to be a natural type of enhancement as it is a continuation of the processes that occurs in the earth when the stone is originally formed. You understand that diamonds actually were originally just a lump of coal? And after the pressure and heat in the earth compresses that lump of coal, it turns into a beautiful diamond. Well, listen to this. "During treatment, the stone is other precious stones is heated to a very high temperature, 2,900 degrees Fahrenheit, causing inclusions and chemical elements and other impurities to reform themselves inside the stone and change the color of the stone, either to be darker or lighter or more intense or of a different color altogether. And this process is permanent and irreversible." You end up with a more precious stone than you had before because it's been treated by heat. Now, if our bad works are equal in substance to wood, hay, and stubble, and the wood, hay, and stubble is burned up at the judgment seat of Christ, then all our bad works are totally removed from our record at the judgment seat of Christ. And if our good works are equal in substance to gold, silver, and precious stones, the quantity of good works that remains in our record determines what we receive at the judgment seat of Christ. Make sense? Thus, the more things we do in our Christian lives that are equal to gold, silver, and precious stones, the more we will receive at the judgment seat of Christ. The more things we do in our Christian lives that are equal to wood, hay, and stubble, the less we receive at the judgment seat of Christ. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. We have a finite amount of time to do works for God. That finite amount of time is determined from the moment that we are saved until the moment we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. See, anything we do prior to the moment of our salvation actually works against us and becomes debt rather than reward, according to Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. Everything we do after the moment we are saved counts toward our reward at the judgment seat of Christ. The more we do that is good, the more we receive. The more that we do that is bad, the less we receive. In fact, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, it is possible for a believer to waste his entire life with worthless activities and just get to heaven with no reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Remember, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, but there can be loss of reward. What will this reward look like? Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. One of the things that may happen at the judgment seat of Christ, and we might all hope that this happens, is we might receive a commendation from Christ as we stand before him. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, although this reference doesn't directly relate to the judgment seat of Christ, it's something that people do hear from Jesus. We might hope that we might hear it. In the parable, the talents is the context, and Jesus tells what he says to those who do gold, silver, and precious stone works. Verse 23 of Matthew 25, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you like to hear that from Jesus? Well done. According to Daniel, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, we might shine. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Referring to two different resurrections, the resurrection of believers and the resurrection of the lost at the great white throne judgment, that one will be. But in verse 3, he says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Well, when Moses was on the mount for 40 days and he came down, what was the condition of his face. He shone, and he had to cover his face because it was so bright because he had been in the presence of the glory of God. Well, when we get to heaven, we're going to be in the presence of the glory of God, and it's likely that some of that glory is going to rub off on us, and we will shine in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But then there are crowns that the scripture refers to. 2 Timothy 4:8, a crown of righteousness. James 1:12, the crown of life. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, a crown of glory. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says that these are incorruptible crowns. But these crowns are really not for us and for our glory. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's the whole purpose of doing works that are equal in substance to gold, silver, and precious stones, and so that we can lay that value at the feet of Christ. He's the one that deserves all the glory. I don't believe it's intended for us to walk around in heaven, and some of us have 3 or 4 or 5, 10 crowns, and others don't have any, and no room for boastfulness or pride. And the only one that deserves all those crowns is Jesus. So why the tears? Suffering loss at the judgment seat of Christ is not a happy prospect. Suffering so much loss that the individual has nothing left but to get into heaven empty-handed is even less of a happy prospect. But to suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ, to lose what you might have had, to have less than you could have had, to have little or nothing to lay at the feet of Christ, might just be enough to bring tears to your eyes. Remember that old dilapidated satchel? Let's say there's an old dilapidated satchel in your life. Oh, it doesn't have $1 million in it. It has something better. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good. That's what's in that old dilapidated satchel. Opportunity. How many opportunities are there in your life to do things that are equal in value to gold, silver, and precious stones? But if you never look inside that dilapidated satchel, you'll miss the opportunities God will give you to do good. And when you stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, there just might be tears in your eyes because you look back and you realize there was that old dilapidated satchel and you never took the time to look inside. And you missed the opportunities God gave you to do good. And you might just find yourself saying, if only I had looked in that satchel. To be sure, tears won't last long at the judgment seat of Christ, for God will wipe away all our tears. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all our tears from our eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. But even though those tears may last only for a brief moment, we can avoid those tears altogether if we'll simply look inside that dilapidated satchel and find the opportunities God gives us to do good. Not for our glory, for His. Don't pass by that old dilapidated satchel. Pick it up. Look inside today and seize the opportunities God puts in your life to do good for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's an old dilapidated satchel for each and every one of us. And inside is something very precious. The opportunity to bring glory to Your name by doing good. It's so easy to pass by and go our way, have our fun, pursue our own vain imaginations, plan our lives to suit ourselves, and forget about that old dilapidated satchel. Lord, put it in each of our hearts this day. We'll stop right now and look for those opportunities to do good and glorify Your name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.